and Dictators, episode 1.3. I'm Sam.
And this is episode 1.3, Great Ideas for Christmas to Get for Your That Special Someone.
You can email us at anna.dictators@gmail.com.
Or you can visit our website at anna-dictators.blogspot.com.
Or you can check us out at myanimelist.net. Look for one of our usernames and then view our clubs and look for the, I almost said Roman Club, look for the Anna Dictators podcast club, if I could say it right.
Yes. And also, our usernames for the Mal, for anyone who cares, is I'm Fallen101.
And I'm Sorrow667.
At us, we're lonely.
Yes, and the opening theme for today's show was Dogfight, which I think, and that's by Move, and that's one of the opening themes of the initial DTV series. And let's just go straight into the news, and there's not much news. Only news I could think of is Section 23 Films, which is a new company, just like ADV or Gideon or Funimation, has licensed The Skull Man.
Yeah, so we might actually be able to give you a full, complete review, and not just the first four episodes.
Oh yeah, I forgot we did that. That was so long ago.
So you guys should be psyched about that. Also, for news, the movie Ponyo, Miyazaki's new film, based on Little Mermaid, by Hans Christian Andersen, has been put up for Golden Globe nominations being considered. So, you know, pray for it. Pray for it. That's about all I got.
Yeah, so, random section?
Yeah, sure, random. First off, okay, all you fans of the completely grotesque, bloody, violent Japanese movies like Machine Girl, the Machine Girl director has just released a new movie short, and it's online. You can watch it at www.quietearth.us. I forget what it's called. Looks pretty ballin', though. I actually plan on watching it sometime tonight. So, and according to them, it was pretty kicking. So,
also, just kind of an update, TV Neon has just subbed episode 11 of Kamen Rider W, and that's W, not... Oh, it's actually called Double, but they put a W in there. Check out that series, because it's really cool. Shotaro is really cool because he has a multicolored, or a two-colored motorcycle, green and black.
Yeah, it's pretty ballin'. And he solves mysteries hard-boiled style.
Yeah.
So you fans of Humphrey Bogart, you might want to check that out.
Yeah, if you're a Kamen Rider fan, check it out. If you are a Kamen Rider fan and you're not watching that, I'm really, really surprised.
Yeah.
So, and just to go ahead and straight to the reviews, I mean, what we're going to review today is, Matt, you are reviewing
Kaze no Yojimbo, or Bodyguard of the Wind,
which is an anime series.
Yes.
And we got to start clarifying that since we're reviewing such diverse things now. And then Matt and I are group reviewing Arm of Cannon, or aka Birth, the manga series. And then I'm reviewing a Korean movie from 2007 called Gangster High.
Wrong.
And no, it doesn't have real gangs in it, like the Bloods and the Crips, but it's got kind of Asian people gangs, I guess. Not the Yakuza, though.
No, but it's got some beat down going on, so...
Yeah, beat down. So, okay. Now, Gangster High starts out, these kids have just gotten into high school, and they're in their first year. Now, you have to understand, like, I'm pretty sure in Korea and Japan, it's only 3 years in high school. So, just to clarify that. And they're freshmen. First scene is, they're all taking the entrance exam to see which class they will be placed in and what area of the school they will be put in.
Ass-kicking 101.
Yeah. And so they start taking it, and you see all the faces of the main characters, like Sung-ho and Chang-bae. And Chang-bae's sitting there taking it, and that sounded wrong.
Yeah, he's taking it in the ass.
He's like, ah. He's sitting there taking the test. He's got a Scantron. And he does, like, five problems, and he looks up at Sung-ho, and then he looks back down, and then he marks every single one of the answers the same letter, and walks out of the classroom. And the next scene is they're all playing soccer together, talking about how in junior high, how Chang-bae would never sit down and take a full test because he's kind of the delinquent and, you know, school's for losers kind of thing. So they're playing soccer, and he gets this bomb-ass, like, soccer kick halfway across the field, and his friend headbutts it, and it's the goal, and they're all like, "Goal, yeah, yeah." Well, this other kid comes up and pushes Sung-ho's friend, and they start fighting right away like it's nothing. I mean, it is sweet.
Yeah.
And
they are no-nonsense people.
And they start pulling them all away from each other. And this big guy from this dude's group that punched Sung-ho's friend comes over, and he's like, "You can apologize for trying to fight him." He's like, "No, you started it." And well, neither one of them will apologize. So they're like, "Fine, I'll just stand up for my friend." That's what Sung-ho says. So next scene, you got... And the cool thing about this movie is, usually like an anime or you know, and newer movies, they have kind of rock music in the background, electric guitar, and to make it sound really badass. But in this movie, it's like classical music.
Yeah, it actually, it's kind of weird, like, but it works really well. Like, you wouldn't think it would work with, like, you know, kids beating the crap out of each other, but for some reason, Mozart and Bach just sound good.
Now, the first background music, I'm not exactly sure what it's from. It's kind of like this low beat kind of thing, and it kind of sounds like there's a little guitar in the background. It's really, really cool, like, coming up to a fight scene. And what these kids do is they make a big circle in the gym, and they say that if you go out of that area, you have to stop fighting and go back in the middle, kind of like a sumo wrestling match. And Song-ho and this really big dude, like twice his size, start fighting. Well, as soon as Song-ho throws the first punch to the side with his right arm, he blocks it, grabs him by the neck, pushes him all the way outside the line, realizes he's outside of it, so he puts him back in, they go back to the middle. Well, they keep fighting. Well, Song-ho starts owning him. I mean, he is like combination after combination, punch him with his right, left, hit him in the gut, and then, like, he turns around, hits him with his elbow, knees him with his left. It's ridiculous. Like, you're just like, how are these kids this good at fighting? Because it looks, I mean, it doesn't look professional or anything. It's not Jet Li, but it's really cool looking.
Cause it's like very realistic fighting, too.
It's like Crow Zero, almost, but not as violent. Yes and no.
Yes and no. I think this is, Crow Zero's more stylized, this is more brutal.
Yeah, okay.
So,
and all of a sudden, these dudes are fighting, and Song-ho is sweating everywhere because he just got knocked on the floor. But no, it's nothing because he gets right back up and starts shaking his head, and he had just knocked the dude out almost.
Yeah, and then the guy pulls out a switchblade, stabs him in the side. You know what? He falls into the sand, picks up the stand, and puts in his wound so it congeals and he can keep fighting.
That's what Matt wants to happen, but that does not happen that early in the movie.
No, that I was thinking, I'm back to there.
Actually never happens, but... Yeah. The cool thing is, Chongbae comes in, he's like, hey, Song-ho, how you doing? And then he says to the big guy, hey, how you doing, man? I haven't seen you since elementary school. So all of a sudden, they're out to eat together, the four or five of them. And they make up, and they say, you know, they all like playing soccer, so they make a soccer club, and they call themselves the Tigers. This starts it all. Their gang, they don't really know they're a gang yet, but they are.
Yeah.
They are the Tigers. Song-ho is the president. And then Chongbae is the vice president, and then they have a manager. Now, they're walking home one day, and they see these guys over there smoking under this little house. And the guy comes over, and he tells Chongbae to come on over, and he's like, dish out some money, because he's pretty much bullying him. He's like, I don't have anything. He says, dish out some cigarettes. He's like, I don't have any. And so he's like, well, then get the hell out of here, and, you know, and they're cussing like crazy, like sailors. So, as the movie progresses on, I'm not going to tell you every scene, the Tiger Gang and this other gang, which they really never clarify their real name, and these are the bullies, they pretty much want to go on a full-scale assault with the Tigers, because the Tigers are, like, the biggest and most violent gang in the school right now, and... As you see this movie, you see character development with Song-ho as how he's kind of the, you can tell he's a leader from the beginning of the movie, but as the movie progresses, he becomes more and more mature as a leader, especially when they're out one night, and they're in this pool hall, playing pool, and just sitting there eating some ramen, and all of a sudden, this girl that is connected with the leader of the bully gang is starting to fall for Song-ho, finds out, and, He sends his right-hand man to go take care of it, because his right-hand hand hates this chick. And this chick is really hot, by the way. So
yeah, she's banging.
So he sees her in an alley, and this other kid, they start like making him strip until he's in his underwear and start beating him and the crap out of him. Well, the girl's friend runs and gets all the Tigers, and they run, and they have a big old brawl in the middle of... an alley, and it is really sweet.
Yeah, it's just balling.
The cool thing is, at first, you know, Song-ho doesn't jump right in. It's Chongbae. He just goes for it.
Yeah. He's after that like a freaking rhinoceros on crack. I mean,
yeah, and
he's all over that.
And it's kind of like a battle between, it's not like a competition between the two, but both of them are such good leaders that it just really makes the movie really, really interesting, because you really want to see how they mature and how they develop within this tiger group gang they have against these rebels.
Yeah.
They figure out that the main guy of the boys, he is extremely good at martial arts, especially kicking. And he beats... I mean, there's one scene where he's in a pool hall, and some dude, like, bumps into him. He's like, yo, you gonna apologize to him? He's like, what are you saying, little man? He's like, little man, and he, like, beats the shit out of this dude. He, like, kicks him in the stomach. The guy falls over. He brings his foot all the way up like he's gonna do a vertical kick, brings it back down, hits him with his heel. And it is so sweet. It just knocks the dude out. And then hits him with the, God, what's it called?
Pull cue.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Owns him.
Oh, yeah, it's ridiculous. I was kind of... Of course, also, you have to realize that while there is a lot of violence, the movie is not glorifying violence.
No.
It's kind of almost against violence, like, if you kind of understand what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
But it's still balling.
And during that alley fight, they get caught by the police, and they all go to the police station. And they have to go through all that, and their parents find out that they've been... Some of them figure out that they've been fighting. And the thing about Song Ho is... He's kind of the, not the good kid that sucks up to everybody, but he's the kid that doesn't drink, doesn't smoke, doesn't do any of that, because he wants to go to the military academy after high school. That is his goal, because his dad is a very, very respected general. And all the other guys are just kind of like, they're just a bunch of delinquents. They want to smoke and drink all the time. They really don't care, and they really don't know what they want to do after high school. And in Korea, you have to attend the military for 2 or 3 years after high school. It's a requirement. So, the movie, just kind of to take a break from what I'm telling you with the storyline and everything, Song Ho is played by a great, great actor named Jong Kwang Ho, which is in many various movies in Korean TV series, such as Time Between Dog and Wolf, which is a 16-episode TV series, which he's also with the actor that plays Chong Bae, which is Lee Tae Seong. And I know I'm not pronouncing these right, but I'm doing my best, because...
Korean's hard.
Yeah.
a lot of hyphens.
We had a Korean friend about last year that was an exchange student, but we called him... God, what's his name? I can't believe I'm forgetting his name. I don't know.
Brian. Brian, there we go.
And his real name was Baki Min, so...
Yeah, we were...
Bogeyman.
Yeah, Bogeyman or something like that. Yeah, we just all call him Brian because it was easier.
Yeah.
And also, I mean, you know, it's kind of close, maybe.
Yeah. And then also, Song Ho, which the actor is Jong Kwang Ho, he is in also other movies called Turtles Run, which is his newest movie. Princess Ja is his newest TV series, and his best movie, I think. Well, Turtles Run was really, really good, but Gangster High. And then... Lee Tae Seong's in other movies and TV series as well. A TV series he's in with Jong Kwang Ho is Time Between Dog and Wolf, but he's like the enemy. Other movies he's in are 26 Years Diary, and then here's a baseball movie for you baseball fans, is Superstar Mr. Gam. And then he's in other TV series such as Life is Good, 9 and 2 Outs, and then another movie called Close to You. So he's an excellent actor. Him and Song Ho or Jong Kwang Ho are just great, great actors. But if I had to pick my favorite Korean actor, it'd be Jong Kwang Ho. He just does such a good job, especially as, like, the leader. Now, going back to the story, what happens is they get caught by the police by that, and pretty much the leader of the bullies comes and beats up the Tigers without their two leaders and breaks their legs. Like, they put their foot up against the legs, gets a metal pole, and just hits it as hard as he can so he can bend it the wrong way and beat the shit out of him. So Chong Bae and Song Ho are just, they're just so pissed right now.
Yeah,
let me take that back. Chong Bae is really, really pissed. Song Ho is really just...
He's kind of different. Like, he's kind of irked, but...
Yeah, he really doesn't know what to do because he wants to plan out a revenge. He doesn't want to just go straight into it and just get destroyed by these guys. So he is sitting there, and Chong Bae and him start fighting, and they actually do fight, and it is a really cool scene because they fight in the middle of a soccer field
night.
And while all their friends are in the hospital, they only have 2 or 3 guys. And something happens to Chong Bae, but I don't want to give it away. And they eventually have to fight the bullies in an all-out war in this pool hall.
And it is, like, awesome.
Everyone gets messed up, and there's blood everywhere, dude. It is
Like, once again, you know, it's really kind of like not glorifying violence, because you see in this like last like fight, you know, like what violence does. Like Sam said, there's really no clear victor. I mean, they all get it. I mean, you know, they're bleeding, they got cuts, bloody noses, broken limbs, you know. It's nasty. I mean, it's cool, but...
There's kind of the storyline, the characters, the actors, and the pros of the series. But, of course, or the movie. I need to talk about the cons, though. What I'm wondering is, when we had our friend Brian last year, and we talked to him about various things from Korea and asked him about different things... We asked him what the drinking and smoking and kind of age like that was, and he said it was 19. And I'm confused that these kids are freshmen in high school, to how they're... Like, they would be in restaurants, you'd see in various scenes in the movie, and I wondered why they were drinking alcohol, and they were smoking all the time. So that's what I was like, how does that work? I mean, I know it's a movie, but I was really confused in that point. And also, I know the music was different, but sometimes it was a little ridiculous.
Yeah, I will say that for the most part, it did fit real well. But there were a couple times where it was just kind of like, could have picked a better song.
Yeah, and it did have really, really good actors. But the main enemy guy, he was a short little guy. He kicked ass, but he was really short and puny looking. And I was kind of surprised that he kicked so much ass and he was that small. Which is a good and bad thing. And also, I wish there was a little bit more fighting. But if there would have been more fighting, then there might have been less plot.
Yeah, but...
Because it was really, really spaced out. Because it was, like, right at the beginning, middle, and then there's a lot at the end.
Yeah. But, you know, it's a good movie.
I would definitely check it out. Well, you used to be able to watch it on Crunchyroll before they went gay, you know. And they charge you for everything. And just don't go to Crunchyroll. Best place you can get it is if you go to this site called Vistaz, and I will put it up on the blog and make sure, you know. The only thing is, it's only for torrenting, and they are really, really strict with the rules, and I don't even know if the registration is open right now. But when it is, you don't need to like, oh, I'll register tomorrow, or I'll register later, because I don't feel like, you need to do it right then and there, because registration is not open for very long, and... those guys are like serious, like big time. Like, you got to keep your ratio even, or you got to keep it above 0.5. Like, mine's 0.8, you know, because I've downloaded so much. But that's the best place to get it. I'm sure if you looked on ISO Hunt or look for torrents, you could find it.
Yeah, they've also got a Regional 1 DVD that you can purchase for it.
Mm-hmm.
For all those people, you know, who actually buy their movies.
Right, on yesasia.com.
So,
or I got mine off amazon.com.
Yeah.
I didn't get off. The only thing was it was like $18, $19. And usually when you buy things off the internet, it's a little bit cheaper than that. But it was well worth it, and it works great on my DVD player.
So,
yeah. Out of 10, I give it a 10 because it's my first Korean movie I ever saw, and I thought it was awesome.
I'd give it about a 7 or an 8. Let's go 7.5 on that.
Okay.
So, let's just keep rolling into my anime series, Kaze no Yojimbo, Bodyguard the Wind. First off, let me tell you that this is a buried treasure. I mean, like, quite honestly, no one's really heard of it, and you probably won't hear of it again unless you purchase it.
The only way I heard of it was, which American anime series licensed it? Was it Funimation or ADV?
Funimation.
Okay. The only way I was able to see it was I saw a trailer on a Funimation DVD of a different series. I don't know, it was a long time ago. I was like, oh, that kind of looks cool, because I saw some fight scenes, and then... I bought it for extremely cheap.
Like 20 bucks for 26 episodes.
No, it was like 10 bucks.
Oh, man.
It was like 10 bucks, $10 to $15. I mean, it was really, really cheap. And then I watched one episode and didn't like it and sold it to Matt for really cheap.
Yeah, and I loved it. So you might get a bit of a variance of opinions here. But anyway, Bodyguard of the Wind, first off, based off the movie Yojimbo, a 1960s classic by Akira Kurosawa, who you guys might know for The Seven Samurai. He's a pretty famous Japanese director back in the day. Really good ideas and stuff. So the only problem is that since it is based off a 1960s movie, the anime is a bit dated. They tried to update it a little bit, but they really couldn't because there's a lot to do with trains, and no one really uses trains anymore. So you'll notice that. But I'll get into that later. So anyway, movie. Starts out in this town, And it's kind of split into these two sections. There's one section, which is controlled by this, old-time gang. And then there's this other section that's, controlled by these newcomers. And so it's kind of split down the middle. And, there's, the old town and the new town, basically. And so what happens is this stranger kind of comes in. Man with No Name trilogy, Fistful of Dollars, comes in, and he kind of starts stirring up trouble. The man's name's George Kodama. And
George.
Yeah, George. Which, first, you'll notice it's kind of weird, because first off, there's not a lot of Japanese people named George, okay? But yes, his name is George.
Maybe if you live in China, George Wong or something, but not in Japan. That's weird.
So George comes into this town, okay, and he's a newcomer. And this town doesn't see very many newcomers, but he comes and he kind of decides to stay. And he's he's a huge moocher. He hardly does anything. He has no job. Whenever he starts, but then he figures he's a great fighter. You find that out in the second episode. And he's this really, really great fighter. And so what people are like is they're like, well, this George Kodama, he's a really great fighter. I want him on my side to be my bodyguard. So that's how he gets jobs. He becomes a bodyguard. And so originally he becomes a bodyguard for kind of the older gang. And he helps them out, but he switches sides throughout the series. And he doesn't have a job or anything. And so all he does is he goes to this, bar, and he orders ramen, okay? And the guy's like, it's a bar. I don't normally serve ramen, but he serves it, and George pays him. And eventually what happens is he decides he wants to go to the new gang's headquarters. And at this time, he's already started, four fights. And the guy's like, well, okay, here's the deal. If you go to that new headquarters and don't start a fight, I will give you ramen for free as long as you want. So he goes to the other headquarters, doesn't start a fight at all, comes back, and then for the rest of the series, he gets free ramen. He finds this one girl who's a widow, and he ends up protecting her at one instance, so then he gets a free place to stay. Like I said, he's a huge mooch. He doesn't pay any money at all.
Sounds like it, but he's good at it.
Yeah, but he's a beast. And the fight scenes in it, they're kind of few and far between. Because, like I said, it's based off a 2-hour movie, and they stretch this out for 26 episodes. So it is a bit of a slow pace, and by a bit I mean a really slow pace. But it's totally worth it, especially when I need to go back a little bit. The new gang is controlled by these two brothers. There's I can't think of their names because they weren't very interesting. But anyway, there's the older, smarter brother, and then there's the younger brother who's huge and stupid. But he can break you over his kneecap, okay? And so that's kind of how it's working. And they've got all these different businesses across town. One of the things they have is they have a casino train, which is a moving casino, and it's illegal to gamble in Japan, or it was in the 1960s, whenever the original movie was made. So they've got this casino train going, so it moves so the cops can't find it. Okay, and that's one of the things they do. They've also got a porn industry going. There's about 20 different things they're doing for money. And anyway, about episode 18, they get their third brother in, and his name's Ren, and oh my god, is Ren cool. He plays, he has two pistols, they're both 44 Magnums, and he plays Russian roulette, and he is a beast. And, quite honestly, Ren is probably the coolest character in there. He's absolutely crazy, has no conscience. For him, the ends always justify the means. He wouldn't, care about, killing your baby and, choking you with its small intestine, if that's what it took. he would have no problem with that. So, that's the kind of person he is. But...
Oh, my God.
So anyway, as the series progresses, you start realizing that... what both gangs are after is there's this train that was filled with all this gold and platinum that just disappeared one night. Just gone. No one knows what happened to it. And except the problem is no one knows, but it's kind of like everybody knows something about it, but no one knows the whole story. And so George Kodama kind of starts getting, looking into this, trying to figure out what happened to the train car, and most importantly, what happened to the man guarding the train car. Okay, and that's a real important thing. I'm not going to tell you anything about the man who was guarding the train car, but like I said, that is a very important part of the series. You don't even figure that one out until, like, episode 24. And throughout this endeavor, while he's searching for all this, there's this, the girl of the old gang, or the daughter of the old gang's leader, kind of starts, like, falling for George Kodama, and she starts, like, hanging out with him and stuff, and being like, hey, I'm the, you know, the annoying character who always has to be in every anime series, except she's really not too annoying, I have to say.
Well, that's good, because I hate those, especially in Char's Counterattack. Oh, my God.
Yeah, but, you know, they always have to have, like, a bubbly little girl. Well, she's not little. She's, like, 18, and she's bubbly. And, you know, she always, like, follows him around and stuff. And you actually think that they might, like, hook up or something, but spoiler alert, they don't. Which is kind of... Well, they might. The ending's kind of out there. But, anyway, so... Like I said, they don't really hook up together. And... But like I said, really interesting. And as the series progresses, like, you know, like I said, it's a bit long-winded. 26 episodes to figure out what happened to a train car seems a bit much. But it's definitely worth it, because the ending is just spectacular. Like, the last 5 episodes, prepare to watch all of them, like, in a row. Otherwise, you're going to be so ticked off at yourself for getting up. Like, I was mad after, like, the second episode whenever I had to get up and pee. I was furious at myself.
Okay, now, is there action or fight scenes in every episode?
No, actually, which is kind of, it's like about every other one until towards the end, and then the ending just goes ridiculous on you, and, like, there's violence all the time, because that's whenever Rin gets in there.
Yeah.
And whenever Rin's in there, there's, like, violence, like, every episode, but he doesn't come into, like, episode, like, number 14, I think, so, but whenever he's in there, the series speeds up quite a bit.
How is the dub?
Dub's good. I watched the entire thing dubbed. So the voices are really good. There's a couple instances where you're like, well, that was a bit cheesy, but for the most part, it's really good. And everyone's voice is pretty decent, but, okay. We just saw a picture of the guy who, acted as, I'm assuming, George Kodama.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he looks like a mooch, like George.
He looks like this big old bat. It looks like Stone Cold Steve Austin. I don't know. He looks like some WWE wrestler with long blonde hair. And he does the voice for Amuro Ray, and the new dub for Amuro Ray, which is horrible.
Yeah.
I hate his voice. He also does Kisuke Uehara from Bleach. I mean, he does... Oh, man. Oh, get this. Look at this. He's in Digimon.
He is?
He plays Joe.
Oh, dude, he plays Joe? Sweet.
Yeah, and then Rurouni Kenshin, he is Yutaro Tsukuyami. I don't know who that is.
Yeah, I don't know that either. But he's got a decent voice. Like, it's not real bad or anything. I mean, it's kind of like, I'm trying to think, like, almost like a skater kid sort of voice. And it fits him, because he's like the super huge mooch, and, you know, like... And it almost seems like he just likes causing trouble at the beginning, because that's really all he does. He just, like, starts, like, kind of picking fights with people and trying to figure out different things. And anyway, it kind of puts him in, like, the crossfire for the, like, two gangs. And he almost sets up this, like, whole war between the two gangs to, like, take him down. Sort of like in A Fistful of Dollars, if you guys are Clint Eastwood fans. Like, the Man with No Name does in that. And he sets the two gangs up to fall. And that's pretty much what George Kodama does. And in the process, he finds out what happened to the missing... train and what happened to the person, which totally unexpected, I have to say. Whenever I found out what happened to the train, I was like, whoa. And then whenever I found out what happened to the guy guarding the train,
wait, how'd you say whoa again?
Whoa. but yeah, like it was a double whoa there, and it was just it really good. Like I said, super huge plot twist, and you won't expect it. Also, like, some of the things they do really, really well is They keep you on the edge of your seat, especially towards the ending. There's one instance, and I wish I could tell you about what they do, because it's really cool what they do, because, like, really builds suspense, and you're like, oh my god, I can't believe they just did that. And then, like, at the end of the episode, you find out, thank god, that they didn't just do that. But it's really cool. And like I said, Rin is definitely the coolest character in the entire series, and if you're just going to watch it, like, or if you kind of want to skip ahead... You won't be missing much if you, like, go to episode 14 when Rin pops in and just watch from there.
Now, something distinct I remember about the series is when he fought, or at least from the first episode, it looked like he was looking through goggles, or it was like first person or something. You know what I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah. That's another thing it does. What happens is it kind of pulls the, like, Sayuki thing. I'm not sure if you guys have ever seen Sayuki. But, like, you know how whenever they're, like, talking at certain points, they'll, like, show their face up close and they'll, like, have, like, fuzz in the background? Kind of does that. And also whenever he's fighting, it goes, like, fisheye. So, like, the middle of the screen's really clear and the outsides are kind of blurred. And so it's a neat effect. It can probably get, like, kind of bothersome, but it's neat.
That's the main reason I dropped it in the first episode, and I just wasn't patient enough, because at the time I was watching so many different things, I was like, I don't have time for this, and I just went ahead and assumed that it was bad and didn't finish it, which sometimes I have a bad habit of doing that.
Yeah, it is actually really good. Also, it has probably the coolest game of blackjack you will ever see in your life. And I'm going to leave it at that. He plays it on the casino car, and let me tell you something. I mean, coolest game of blackjack ever. I was actually entranced by this game of blackjack, and that normally doesn't happen. I'm not much of a gambler movie type of dude. So.
Oh, I like those.
Well, I like some of them, too. Like, you know, The Sting was all right. The Sting wasn't really gambling. Anyway. But, yeah, good movie. Good movie. Good anime. Worth checking out. One of my favorites. 9.5 out of 10.
Dang. I can't rate it. I've only seen one or two episodes. So, you know, it wouldn't be fair for me to give it a rating. Now, a while back, we were talking about buried treasures. And, sorry, my dog is trying to chew on my computer wires. We were talking about buried treasures, and one that we brought up was this manga called Arm of Cannon, a.k.a. Birth. We're just going to call it Arm of Cannon because that sounds a lot cooler.
Yeah.
I'll tell you one thing. This series is crazy.
It is messed up.
Dude, it is, like, way over the top. And it's almost like, when you're reading it, you get done. Like, I'd read them in study hall, and I sit, like, in the table right by Matt, and I would read them real quick and then get done with them and give them back to him and be like, and I'll look at them straight in the eye and be like, dude, that was crazy.
Yeah. It is ridiculous. The artist who does it, the artist and writer, he really hasn't done much else. He did one other series, so we're not even going to tell you his name because it's not really worth it. Though he might be one to check out. So if you like Armageddon, you might want to, you know, keep an eye on him because I think he's got some talent. But let's go into what the Arm of Cannon is. The Arm of Cannon is one of the hands of the, what was it, the Buddha?
It's some arm that it needs a host to live to where it takes control of your body and makes you do some of the most evil things you would ever do. And every certain amount of years, and there's a couple different arms. And the thing is, only every once in a while is, usually you choose to use the arm so you can gain, like there's this one guy that's a Buddhist that uses it to try and gain Buddhahood. Mostly people use it for power, but only every once in a while the arm chooses you.
Yeah, and that's what happens in this one. It chooses the main character, his name...
Mao. Yeah, yes. I remember that because the Dark Room Black.
But yes, it chooses Mao, and Mao's this pansy asshole kid. Okay.
Yeah, majorly. His sister protects him.
Yeah, his sister has to save
like,
him.
Like, the first, like, couple pages, you see Mao having a really, really bad nightmare, and he's sitting there, and his sister comes, and he's like, Mao, wake up, you're screaming, oh, sorry. And, like, she jumps, she's like, oh, will you want me to stay with you? And she, like, jumps in the bed, and all of a sudden, she, like, jumps right back out, and she's like, did you just have a, because he got a boner? And she's like, he's like, oh my god, I'm so sorry. And she's like, you know you are at that age. You sure you don't want me to stay? And like, and you're like, this is the first couple pages. You're like, oh my god, seriously? Are we going to get incest in this? I don't really want to
see. Oh, and also, just so you know, the dream he was having was of his sister naked, and like this hole opens up in her chest, and all the blood starts leaking out.
Yeah, dude. That's like the second page.
Yeah, that's the second page. And that's whenever I realized, man, this book's going to be awesome. Oh, and here's another thing. Until about halfway through it, no chapters. No chapters.
I think there are chapters. I think it's when you're reading and there's the regular page, and then the page on the left is black, all black, and it's got like something in the bottom left corner. I think that's like the end of a chapter, but really the whole book is connected, each volume that is. And this is a 9-volume series, and just like we said, since there aren't any chapters, we don't know how many chapters it is.
Well, there's also 3 arcs. The first 4 volumes are 1 arc, the next 3 are another arc, and then the last 2 are the last arc.
Now, you have to remember, before we go any farther in this review, is Matt has read 7 volumes, and I have read 4.
So he's only just finished the first arc.
Right, so when we get into the later arc, that'll pretty much be all Matt.
Yeah.
Now, what's the dude with the bent sword's name?
Oh, shit, I forget.
He's from the Inarugi Temple.
Yeah, and he's this, like, great swordsman. And what he kind of does is he protects the arm and makes sure it doesn't fall into the wrong hands and, like, mess people up. Like, he banishes the arm. That's, like, his only duty.
And his most badass attack is he can cut space.
Yeah, he can cut through space. Like, not just, like, water or air, but space. Like, open a hole in the space-time continuum.
Oh, and this is one of those manga licensed by Tokyopop to where it's OT, meaning older teen. So, make sure...
Oh, no, it's mature. It's 18 plus.
Oh, it's M?
Yeah, it's M.
Okay, never mind. So, you know, if you're reading this, you know, I mean, I don't care. I mean, you could be 16 reading this and be just fine, but this is going to sound kind of wimpy, but if you're 15 or a little younger, it might be kind of a stretch, I would think. But
yeah.
You could still do it, but it...
It'll wake you up. I'll put it that way.
It'll pop your cherry. Like, kind of like Ninja Scroll did for us.
Yeah, it will. It's ridiculous. So, anyway, Mao's father is this great explorer, and he went to, like, the mountains of Tibet or some such, looking for something or another. Anyway, he ends up finding the arm of Kanon. Okay.
Which infects him.
Yeah, and he brings it back home with him to show little Mao. And
he's like, oh, Dad, you're home. Oh, yes, son. Oh, can you get me, like, a beer or something? And he goes and opens the refrigerator, and there's his sister and his mom, like, dead, cut to pieces in the refrigerator.
No, it's his mom.
His mom?
Yeah, his sister's still alive.
Oh, yeah, my bad.
But, yeah, he's like, oh, my God, is that mom? And the dad's like, I'm so hungry. And he goes all, like, crazy on him, rapes his son. And whenever he rapes him, he transfers the arm into his son.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? At which point, Swordsman Man, okay, shows up and kills his father. And then they're like, oh, the arm's inside of Mao. But then at which point, Mao's fine. He's not showing any of the symptoms of having the arm. And they're like, whoa, what's happening? And then this evil secret government organization comes in and takes Mao away to a research facility.
Like they do in every TV series.
Yeah. Because, you know, he's special, so they have to, like, take him and steal him and do research on him. Because that's what governments do. They kidnap poor innocent children and, like, poke them with needles and take their blood. Yep. And, by the way, I love America. Okay.
so weird. I mean, pretty much, he gets taken by this organization. And like always, you see in every anime show, it seems like, and every tokusatsu Kamen Rider show I've been seeing lately, like Kamen Rider Blade, they put him in this big old arena and make him fight demons or something, fight each other, and then these nerdy scientists with the badass leader in the room testing them, and along with Mao's sister, and she's like, no, Mao's a good guy, and she's just learned about the arm of Kanon, and they're like, no, he's much more. It's something X.
Gene X or something like that.
He's like the Gene X is what they call Mao. Gene X.
Yeah.
And like he like these like demons like this huge one comes in and he like owns it.
Well, and by the way, they're not demons. What they are is they're like genetically mutated humans that can like turn into these giant lizard people.
Oh yeah.
And like then they like kick butt.
Mm-hmm.
So, but and so he like fights one and like completely owns it. And then he's just, like, sitting there, and he's like, okay, am I done now?
Oh, no, he fights the army and just destroys them. But, like, he doesn't, like, go around cutting them to pieces. He, like, almost absorbs them.
Yeah, it's really weird. He just, like, takes pieces of them.
Because that's how the Arm of Kanon works. It doesn't destroy stuff to where it's completely gone. It absorbs it and takes it in itself and then crushes it within.
Yeah, and so he's like... So, anyway, they end up escaping from this facility, and then that's when the swordsman guy shows up, and he's like... Oh, God, what happened, you know? Because beforehand, he had to battle this one dude, you know, just because he had to show him who was boss. But anyway, he gets there, and the leader of the organization is like, oh, he escaped us and all this, and like, yada, yada, yada. And then it like zooms out, and it shows that she's only a torso. Like, her legs and arms and everything have been ripped off. And it's like, oh, well, they got owned.
They got messed up.
Yeah.
So.
So, and then you've got Mal running into the forest with his sister. Okay.
This is kind of random, I think. Because, like, you open up the second or third volume, and they're, like, in a forest, and all these random dudes start showing up, and we're going to start kind of give you a description of all these dudes, because all of them are badass.
Yes, they are. Well, except the girl with the deagle.
Oh, my God.
Okay, well, anyway, there's this girl, and she has a desert eagle, and she thinks she's bad to the bone, and she's not. Okay, I'm going to throw that out there. These are all from the government, by the way. There's two people who are looking out for them. There's the government, and then there's the demon peoples.
Right. They're called, like, it starts with an M. It's, like, a really weird name. It's either Min-Me, Man-Me, or Manma or something.
Yeah, Manma.
Manma, yeah. I think they were made by the government, and they were successful creations of the mutations, and they're called Manma.
Yeah, and then they kind of, like, escape from the government. They're, like, their own crew. Right. And then there's the actual governmental crew, which isn't, like, mutations.
And the kissness of this girl that, right, like Matt was saying, thinks she's so badass because she's got this big-ass pistol. And then there's this guy named Jack, this big black guy named Jack, and he's really a cyborg. And he's, like, huge. He's, like, Schwarzenegger big.
Yeah.
And then they got this other guy, and you can tell he's the leader because he gives them orders and such. But
he's a psychic.
He just seems like a normal guy until you see him take his army clothes off. Not like that, but, like, to where he has a other uniform under. And he's got, like, these white robes and shit on, like what Ishida would wear in Bleach. And he takes out this psychic sword. Like, yeah. It's a lightsaber. It's so cool.
Yeah, it's really cool. And then there's the doctor. And he's this blind man, but he has this, like, special goggle on where he can, like, see everything, like, in slow motion. And then he also has these, like, sonic things in his hands so he can, like, shoot sound out of them and, like, blow up their eardrums and stuff.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about him.
And the doctor's actually pretty cool. He's one of my, like, favorite characters out of, this crew. And then you got the Mama people, and there's the Hollow Man. That's what I'm going to call him. He's just, like, made up of bandages and bugs, basically, like, on the inside of him. There's him. There's the girl who controls him, the Queen. And she, like, what she can do is she can, like, reach her hand into people's, like, brains and stuff and see what they saw. And, like, she likes playing with people like that.
And then there is this dude, like, he looks like a really, really old guy, and his, like, right or left eye, like, really, really sticks out, and he's got this robe on, like, he's from Harry Potter or something, and he makes illusions. It's his main power.
Yeah.
And did you talk about the little annoying girl that was, like, half-naked?
Oh, yeah, she's the Hive Queen.
Yeah,
she's the one that controls the...
Her main power is complete destruction. She sends out this virus, and it like, kills every cell in the area.
Yeah.
And she actually fights Mao, and that's how she tries to kill him, which she doesn't, because she gets owned.
Yeah, she gets owned. They all get owned, either by each other or by Mao.
And, I would say this is a spoiler, but every single one of these people we just described...
Die. All of them die. Horrible, painful deaths. It really sucked how the doctor dies, too, because he gets chained up to this, like, wall, basically, by the Hive Queen lady, and she rips out his sensors, and they're, like, connected to his eyes, and so, like, she starts pulling out the optical nerves and stuff, and, like, you just see him, like, screaming and blood flying out, and I'm like, wow. You know, but the first one to get owned is the girl with the deagle.
Yeah, she gets consumed. Actually, she gets consumed, and she gets raped by the dude with the bandages.
Yeah, the Hollow Man.
For, like, hours on end.
Yep. It's pretty cool, actually.
He, like, takes a part of him and, like, does he stick her to a tree so he can fight the other guy, the psychic guy?
Yeah, he's like, sticks her to a tree, and then he fights the psychic guy who beats him, and then the Hive Queen shows up and beats the psychic. So, and then, you know, of course, there's Mao, and Mao owns, because... He starts figuring out how to use the power of the arm, and oh my gosh, like, really cool art for the transformations. Like, we're talking, like, bug, or, like, all these mouths and stuff, like, show up on his head, and he starts, like, eating people, and he, like, has, like, tentacles everywhere, and, like, he makes these, like, wings out of tentacles and stuff. It's just really cool.
He pretty much meets up with almost everybody in the group and kills them, but the main people he fights are the guy with the psychic lightsaber, and the old man with the kind of hoodie, and he kills both of them. And this, the old man with the hoodie has like some crazy big ass sharp claws. But the main, that's my phone, just ignore it. The main thing with the psychic guy and his lightsaber is that his lightsaber is like connected to these really, really dangerous, deadly satellites in space, to where he can shoot off lasers from these satellites, and then he can like do all these badass attacks.
Yeah, but he still gets owned. Yeah. And Eliana and the Hive Queen fights, she tries to get inside Mao's head, and when she does, the Armor Cannon erases her memory, and then Mao eats her. So, you know, they all die. Horrible, painful deaths.
And the swordsman.
Yeah, and then the swordsman comes in to take...
It's a Rumi temple. He also... The reason we don't know his name is because they really don't say his name very much.
Yeah, he comes in. All. He comes in to try and clean up the mess. And it's quite a big mess, by the way.
He actually fights Mao really quickly. You can just see one or two pages of it. It doesn't show the fight, but it just shows him about to fight him, and the next page he's on the ground in blood.
Right, yeah, blood everywhere.
With rocks covering him.
Yeah, and he's like lost his arm and stuff, and pretty much you don't screw with Mao.
No. Well, when he loses his arm, he actually sends him into space, and he thinks it's over, and he's like, oh, and then the sister goes crazy because she's, oh, you killed Mao, you killed my dear, dear brother, and all of a sudden he jumps back out of the space portal, like stabs him in the chest, rips his arm off, and like,
yeah,
and then he's on the loose again.
Yeah, and then he gets like born and everything, and then
that's the end of the fourth volume. The first arc.
That's where the arc ends. Is he's born, and then no, he gets sent back in the space time.
Oh yeah.
He gets sent back, and that's how it ends. That's the end of the first arc. Okay, so far we've just seen a whole bunch of badasses get killed. Okay. You know, not a whole lot of plot development going on, but who needs plot development when you've got awesomeness going, right?
Exactly.
But second arc's when we see a bit more plot show up. We have these let's start with one, okay? They call him the magician, and what he does is he gets hired by this crew to find this arm and this... They have the arm. He has to find the vase. Anyway, he's trying to find this vase, and what the vase does is it's like the Holy Grail, and it can feed the arm without the arm actually being connected to a host body. Okay, and so he's hired by this like weird like toady looking guy to do that, and like and by toady looking guy, I'm like thinking, you know, I can't think of what his name is, but like the big nasty toad dude in Dragon Ball Z, you know what I'm talking about, the big green guy with the big fish lips,
Piccolo.
No, never mind. No, I'll think of it later. Like kind of like Lord Sluggish, except like smaller and fatter.
Dende, the Guardian of Earth.
No, I can't think of it.
You talking about the dude that works for Frieza?
No,
that transforms. Like he's really cool looking, and then all he transforms.
No,
he fights Vegeta.
No, I forget what he. I forget what this guy looks like. Anyway, he looks really like a toad. That's all that matters.
Cell.
No, it's not Cell.
Okay, never mind. I'm sorry. Go.
Anyway, he looks like a toad. Anyway, this guy looks like a toad. He looks like exactly the same as him. And if you saw him, you know what I was talking about. Anyway, and so he hires this magician to find it. And anyway, there's this other guy named something Brightring. And he's like trying to stop the magician from finding it. Because he's like, oh, the arm, it's evil. And we're sworn to protect it. Me and my brother. And his brother's name's like Shadow or something really cool. But he's like, yeah, I rock, ha! You know, and he's so gay. I hate him. He's such a douche.
Oh my god.
No, I'm serious. Like, he's so lame. Like what ends up happening is, like the Brightring guy, he's like, oh, like, all the children love me. And he like, helps these, like, orphan children, which is one of the main reasons why I hate him. I don't like orphans. No offense if you're an orphan. He's just annoying. I don't know. He's too upbeat. You know, it's like, yeah, let's fight him. I love me. You know, it's like, power, love, hope. And it's like, shut up. Shut up. You're facing the biggest evil on the planet. You can't be uplifted. No, just be quiet. Go die. Anyway, so he has these, like, chains on all the time, which makes no sense. It's like, arms are shackled together. And he, like, uses that as his weapon. And he's lame. But the magician dude's awesome. I love the magician. The magician is, like, my hero. He's, like, the coolest dude I've ever seen in my life. And so so the magician dude, what's really cool about him is his power is he can take an attack or like some kinetic force that's distributed to him and transfer it to someone else. Like, this one guy is so sure that he's punching him in the face, when really what's happening is he's punching one of his own subordinates in the face. And the Magician of Fifth Street is just, like, standing there. And that's what his power is. And it's like, that's all. Or he's not the Magician of Fifth Street. No, maybe he is. Anyway, he's really cool. And coolest character ever. So anyway, long story short, the evil toady guy gets the hand, and they get transferred to an alternate dimension, and they're, like, fighting there, and yada, yada, yada. Anyway, Toady Man, like, absorbs the arm. He's like, yeah, I have ultimate power.
Toady Man.
Well, I don't know what his name is. Anyway, so you're like, I have ultimate power. And then, you know, the Magician of Fifth Street, you know, Bright Ring guy thinks the Magician is, like, evil. And he's not. He's just, like, an independent contractor. And so Bright Ring's fighting him, fight the demon thing. They defeat it, yada, yada, yada. And then Brightwing's brother, Shadow Brightwing, is like, wants to kill the Magician, and the Magician's like, he's like, stabs the Magician, of course, once again, kinetic force. So anyway, what the Magician does, he ends up stabbing the Shadow guy in the chest with his own sword. It's pretty funny, actually. And so then the Shadow guy, like, ends up dying, and it made me smile. And that's about it. Also, Magician Fifth Street, there's a bit of a love element, because he never pays his rent. He's like a mooch, like George Kodama. That's really what it's all about. It's about mooches. Anyways, and so what he does is he kind of has like this whole love interest going with his apartment owner, and like she's like this like really hot 18-year-old or something. I don't know. And he's like, you know, 30, and he's like all like, yeah, I want that.
That's legal.
Yeah. And so anyway, but he's like in love with her, and he's worried that it won't come back and everything. And then he comes back at the end, and that's the end of the second arc. And I haven't yet to read the third arc, but I expect great things. So, check it out. It's ridiculous.
Now, the only thing that you really need to remember and pay attention to is when you're reading this manga is do not get attached to the characters.
Yeah, do not get attached to the characters.
Because a lot of them die, you don't ever see them again, or that we don't know. We don't know if, like, the first arc characters might show up in third arc or whatever. We think they will, but we're not sure.
Yeah.
So you mainly just need, if you really want to get attached to one of the characters, the protagonist, the swords guy from Isurugi Temple.
Yeah,
that guy is going to be in the whole manga. We think.
Yeah, him. And if you like upbeat pussies, there's Bright Ring. You know, he can be your favorite character. And then the Magician of Fifth Street.
And we keep thinking Mao's going to come back with the Arm of Cannon, but we don't know yet.
Yeah, because I think I forgot to add. I'm pretty sure that the arm in the second arc isn't the Arm of Cannon. I could be wrong. It might be, but I'm pretty sure it's a different, like, artifact. So
now, to get your hands on this manga, Amazon.com, online places.
You're not going to find it anywhere in a store. I had to find it at a used bookstore, and really good purchase, but like I said, you know, really hard to find. Worth checking out, though.
Now, yeah, and if you find it, it'll be really cheap. I guarantee it.
Yes, it will be ridiculously cheap. No one's ever heard of it. Like I said, it is a buried treasure.
No, there aren't any scans online that we've, you know,
found.
Right.
There probably are, but we just have yet to find them. Like, even on My Anime List, like, I think only like less than 200 people have even read it. So that tells you kind of how obscure this title is, and we're letting you know about it, so you can be like, yeah, Armored Cannon, you don't know what that is? Oh, you're not a real anime fan, you Bleach fag.
Hey,
see?
Hey, go there.
We're giving you ammunition. You should be happy. You should be paying us.
Bleach is cool. They're not for fags. Or it's not for fags.
Fine, you're Naruto fag there. But anyway.
Thank you.
Anyway, you should be paying us for this. I mean, you should. So if you ever want to send us any money or anything, feel free. Feel free.
Yeah. We'll totally buy anime with, I mean, support the podcast with.
Well, yeah, we'll totally get better equipment and better quality if you send us money. And we won't spend it on, like, anime and Yu-Gi-Oh cards or
Magic cards.
Or
Pokemon. I'm just kidding.
No, we don't do Pokemon. Pokemon's for queers.
Yeah. So, just to go over the scoreboard here.
Oh, we forgot the score, Armor Cannon.
Oh, yeah, yeah. What are you going to give it?
Eight.
Eight? I'm going to give it a I'll give it a 7 if the plot gets better and I like the second arc characters. But from what Matt is telling me, I'm thinking it's going to be a 6 for me. Because it's just one of those random things. It's kind of like Wounded Man. Like, it's fun to read.
It's fun to read, but it's not real deep.
Exactly.
Actually, you're right. Take mine back down to the 7.
Okay.
But the more I'm thinking about it, like, the Bright Ring character ticked me off. So I'm bringing it down to the 7.
So going back, Gangster High gets a 10 for me, 7.5 for Matt. Keys No Yojimbo gets a 9.5 for Matt. And then Arm of Cannon gets a 6 from me and a 7 out of 10 from Matt.
Check them out.
Now, reviews for next time. For sure, I'm going to review the anime series Musou Renken.
All right.
Shonen to the max.
Well, let's see if I can top that. Dang, I already did Master Mosquiton. I don't know what I'm going to do. You know, honestly, you'll be in for a bit of a surprise. You might see Giant Robo be the review. You might see Doom Megalopolis.
What about Cairo Phantom Memory?
Ooh, yeah, that's a good one. Corral Phantom Memory might be another one, too. So, you know, but yeah, don't hold your breath on the Doom Megalopolis thing. For all you people out there who have been waiting since our, like, third podcast for me to do a review of it, it's probably never going to happen.
And also, we've been just, you know, checking on our site, and I've been checking on FeedBurner, and we've had, you know, 5 to 10 listeners, you know, and that's not amazing or great or anything at all, but for us, personally, it's awesome.
Yeah, so thank you for supporting us.
Yeah,
you know?
And drop us an email. We want to hear from you guys, because we will read it. I don't even care if you're hating on us, saying how boring, how much we suck, and how cool Naruto is. I don't care.
Yeah, just, like, some feedback would be nice, you know? It's kind of like we're doing this to an empty screen.
And we don't even care if it's people we know and we talk to almost every day on The Real Man Club that sent us an email, like Motoko or any of those people.
Yeah, that means you, JH, and you too, Take Me Far Away, and you too, Seven Cupcake.
So who?
Yeah, she's this new person I met on Mal, and anyway, she likes the podcast, so.
Okay.
Cool. Props to you. Anyway, but yeah, some feedback would be nice. You know, maybe one of these days, if we get enough feedback, we might actually end up doing a contest. You know, I don't know what you'd win, but I'm sure we could, like, sign a picture of ourselves or something. I don't know how much of that would be worth.
We could give them anime that we don't really care for anymore, or if we get find some anime that's really cheap that we have, we could use that. You know, it's whatever.
Yeah, you know, you might get something special. We're not sure.
The main reason we might sound so desperate right now is because Matt and I are going to go off to college eventually because we are seniors in high school, and it's becoming to where it's the halfway point very, very soon when Christmas hits. And that's why before we go to college, because we're going to be going to different colleges most likely, and we want to hear some kind of feedback to know that we did change somebody's anime. I mean,
somebody's life. You know, I want to hear, you know, it's like, yeah, you know, I used to beat up on my wife, but then I heard your podcast and it changed me forever. I stopped drinking and straightened up.
And now Jubei Kitagami is my hero.
Yeah, I take out all my frustrations by watching people get owned in anime.
And mainly Ninja Scroll.
Yeah. This is kind of for feedback. We do have a question for you. If you want Shrub back, we'll bring him back. If you don't want Shrub back, we won't bring him back.
A.K. Zach.
Zach, yeah. So, if you want him back, send us an email. If you don't want him back, remain silent, and he won't come back, because we're kind of sick of him. So, honestly,
not to be mean, but, like, he just would always come. Like, we'd always have it at my house, and he'd always be very, very unprepared and have to look up stuff. And instead of looking up stuff, I think I said this last podcast, because I always bitch about it, but he would always look up game trailers, and it's like,
yeah.
Dude, look up stuff that's going to help our podcast, not benefit yourself.
Yeah. So, but yeah, if you do want him back, and if we get, like, I'd say about maybe 10 people send us an email that says, yeah, we want to show him back, we'll bring him back.
Yeah.
If not, you know, if you really don't want him back, send us an email that says, no, we hate him, and we don't want that fact back. He can die in a fire. And we'll probably...
We also think he's gay, but we're... Oh, I can't believe I just said that. Oh,
oops, we said that over the air? Oh, gosh.
Don't worry, we're both Matt and are cool. We're straight, you know.
Yeah, we're straight.
Yeah, we like women and butts. And
yeah, babies. Oh, and if you're a sexy girl, send us a picture. I mean, you know, I mean, I'll...
We'll post in our blog.
Yeah, we'll post on our blog. It's like, this chick listens to us. Why aren't you? You know? So,
You could be our sponsor, or you could be our... Actually, I forget the sponsor. You could be our mascot.
You could be our mascot. I know you want to be our mascot, girl. We'll make you a t-shirt and everything.
You know, watch some, like, really hot girl send us a picture, and then we email them back. We're like, oh, that's great, but how old are you, 12?
Oh.
Crap.
Yeah, what is it about younger girls going through puberty so much faster now?
They're eating so much protein.
Like, it's like, you know, you see, like, 10-year-old girls, and you're like, dang, look at that! And it's
dang,
like,
girl, you 13 yet?
It's like, they're 10. You know, it's like, oh my gosh.
Yeah. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, we're kidding. We don't like little girls.
So, your ending theme today is Alones by Aqua Times, which is the 6th opening theme of Bleach.
Oh, only the 6th.
Yes. Oh, I wonder how many there are. Oh, 15? No, 11.
Oh. Well, I'm sure if they keep going, they'll get more.
Looking at them, the best one, I think, was D-Techno Life.
Rolling Star, man. Rolling Star.
Oh, yeah, but Yui, that was good. I don't know. Villonica's good. I don't even know what. I haven't heard the anime, Anima Rosa one by Porno Graffiti, because they're good.
Porno Graffiti.
You've never heard of them?
No, oh, that's an awesome name.
They do the opening theme for one of the Full Metal Alchemist series.
That's awesome.
And then they have a lot of good ending themes. Like, they got Home, Kazoko. They've got, of course, Yui.
Oh, they do have more ending themes, too. Let's see how many ending... 20! 21! 21. 21.
They got a lot of Sunset Swish in there.
21. 20. You know... I'd say after about 15, you would just call it quits.
And Stereo Pony's good. Got Refu. Oh, never mind. I don't like Refu.
Yeah, so. Anyway, yeah.
That was just a random thing because we're looking on the internet. I don't
know. Dude, this guy totally misspelled honorable.
Where?
He forgot the E. Look at that. He forgot the E. How do you forget the E in honorable?
Well, no, I've seen this guy before. Look, he's from Kentucky.
Well, that explains a lot.
Watch him. Watch. He's probably like a dedicated member to our podcast.
Yeah, I mean, we just alienated him.
We're making fun of him.
Yep. This is probably why we shouldn't be like on the internet while we're doing the podcast, because then you get like random crap like what's going on right now.
Well, no. The funny thing is, actually, I want to tell all our fans this. Like, we have the Real Man Club, and obviously the anime that is in our relations for that club is like Fist of the North Star, Golgo 13, stuff like that.
Yeah, pretty beastly stuff.
Well, this dude that wanted to join our club... Oh, no, he didn't want to join our club. Okay, let me go back to the guy that wanted to join our club. Let me find it, because a lot of people posted comments. Okay, it was this person called Pink Osayu, and it's a male from Poland.
Poland.
His favorite anime are Naruto, Haji no Ippo, Fighting Spirit, Bleach, One Piece, and his favorite manga are Naruto, Bleach, Dragon Ball, Haji no Ippo, and Captain Tsubasa World Youth.
And just so you know, all four of those first four, manga and anime, were both and are all in Shonen Jump.
Yep.
So, you, sir, fail.
And he wanted to join our Real Man Club. And then randomly, I was just like on MAL last night, looking through people's profiles and stuff. And this stupid ad won't go away with this dog.
Yeah. Okay. Good. Okay.
And this person's name is Coraline Algae. Is a male from Louisiana, and his favorite anime are
Fast
Naruto, Lucky Star, Kimo Go no Zimi Ian, which is a Moe series, Fruits Basket, and Toradora, which is another new Moe series. Great. That aired just last summer, maybe, I think.
Yeah, but you know what? Your compatibility with her is somewhat high. Or him, is somewhat high.
What?
Yeah, dude, look at that. 70% compatibility. That's disgusting.
What in the heck? That's not even right.
Think of that.
And his favorite character is Crayon, the dude from Crayon Shin-Chan. And then his second favorite guy is Naruto. Yep. And then Konata Izumi from Lucky... Okay, I'm just going to stop.
This is getting disgusting.
And this is a male.
Yeah, this is a male.
He didn't want to join our club. I just randomly came across him. And there's Michael Lindsay.
Michael Lindsay. You know, we should probably put that as the picture for our this podcast episode. That is beautiful. I mean, like, this guy has, like, hair down to his shoulders, and he, like, totally looking like this, like, bum. You, sir, Michael Lindsay, you get the Hero for the Day award.
That dude is B.A. Oh, my God.
All right.
Well, dude, I'm looking at some of the actors from Gangster High, and one of these dudes is an Asian rapper. What a cool kid.
Okay. Well, we need to stop this whole random internet search, okay?
It should have been the random section.
Dude, yeah. You know what we're going to do? We should start doing that. We should just have an episode where we just randomly search the internet and talk about crap. Because, I mean, we just did that for 8 minutes. Like, if you would have turned us off 8 minutes ago, it would have been fine. You wouldn't have known what you missed, except maybe the ending theme.
Oh. And should I say the ending theme again since, like, it was, like, 8 minutes ago?
Psh, nah.
Okay.
They know what it is.
Yeah, so we'll catch you on the flip side. And the reason, I don't know why I waited another 8 minutes, because I've been sitting here for the last 30 minutes needing to take a massive shit. So, We're gonna
call it a day.
Yeah, our shows are usually longer, but, you know, this is kind of a rush deal, and it's a Friday afternoon, we're going out tonight, so we wanted to get something out to you fans.
Just so you know, it's guys not out, it's not like him and I are going out together, we're not gay.
Right. Right. We're going to a friend's house to play some COD with a couple other friends. Yeah.
COD Mod 2, man.
And maybe play some Yu-Gi-Oh! Magic and own some kids.
Yes, own some noobs. Nerd cards, as we like to call them.
Yes.
Lovingly.
Yeah, so if you guys play nerd cards, email us and tell us your best card.
Speaking of what, I just gotta say this. Okay, so anyway, we're looking for places to play nerd cards, okay?
Oh my god.
And, Sam here suggests, hey, let's play at a Barnes & Noble, which is, you know, a popular bookstore where people walk in all the time, and it's like, Sam, dude, if you do realize that if we play out in the public like that, someone's going to see us that we don't. Oh, no, they won't. So anyway, we're sitting there playing, and this girl, who we'll refer to as Citizen A, who happened to be the hottest girl in our school a year ago, she graduated.
And was and is the stepsister of one of the guys that hangs out with us.
Yeah, and she's banging. She is banging. I mean, oh my god, I wish I had a picture of her to show you guys, but unfortunately this is an audio podcast and I can't show you. But, anyway, so she walks in as we're playing nerd cards, all of us, and she knows about half of us.
Yeah, I've known her since I was, like, in sixth grade, and we almost dated when we were, like, really young, so.
Yeah.
Kind of have a little bit of a history with her, and been friends with her a long time, so we know a lot about each other.
But yeah, so, if you don't think you'll be seen at a Barnes & Noble playing nerd cards,
you will.
Alright, and that's the Anna Dictator signing off.
Yeah, our new spot's at a friend's house now, so I'm gonna go poop.
Alright, signing off.
ためじゃなくて自分のために笑っていいよ Good.